RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Japan supports Indonesia as UN Security Council member. Indonesia strengthens economic relations with Bosnia. Now the news in detail. Japan has declared support for Indonesia to be a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council. The declaration of support was expressed by Japan's Deputy Foreign Minister Nobuo Kishi during a meeting with Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fishery Minister Susi Pujastuti in Tokyo, Japan on Friday. Minister Susi explained that Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi asked her to request a support from the Japanese government during her visit to Japan. In addition to meeting with Kishi, Minister Susi also met with Japan's Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or Keidanren. Indonesia has planned to secure a seat as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period 2019-2020. The election will be held in New York, USA in June 2018. Indonesia will be competing with Maldives for representing the Asia-Pacific region. Indonesia has secured support from 95 countries consisting of 22 unilateral support, 19 spoken support, and 54 mutual supports. Indonesia and Bosnia have signed an agreement to strengthen economic relations. Early on Tuesday, April 13, 2017, the Indonesian Foreign Minister and the Bosnia Herzegovina Foreign Minister sit in the first bilateral consultation forum, FKB, held in Jakarta. Director General of the American European Affairs at the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Muhammad Ansor, said in a press release in Jakarta on Friday that what is included in the efforts to strengthen economic ties between the two countries is to bridge communication between business owners of the two countries. In 2004, Chamber of Commerce and Industry of the two countries signed Memorandum of Understanding. Ansor said that governments of the two countries used the forum to exchange views related to domestic development, cooperation in the fields of politics, economy, trade, investment, education, and culture. The bilateral relationship between Indonesia and Herzegovina started on April 11, 1994, after the Indonesian government acknowledged Bosnia independence on May 20, 1992. Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman has asserted that there is no way for Europe to dictate Indonesian agriculture industry in relation to the single sustainable palm oil standard issued by the European Parliament. The European Parliament issued on April 4th a resolution to only import sustainable palm oil after 2020, which sparks objection from Indonesia and Malaysia, the world's two biggest crude palm oil producers. Minister Amran also said that the government is developing conversion to biofuel, which needs palm oil material of 3 million tons, a figure that is nearly in line with Indonesian palm oil export to Europe. Besides, Indonesia dominates the international palm oil market with 80,000 tons capacity. Minister Amran added that Indonesia has loyal partners such as Pakistan, Turkey, Bangladesh, India, and China in palm trade. State-owned railway company PT Kereta Api Indonesia Kai Operation Region 1 Jakarta has prepared 67 daily trains for Idul Fitri holiday, which will fall on June 2017. The total number of seats available for the holiday is 50,282. Kai Dopwan Executive Vice President John Roberto said that the trains consist of 52 regular trains and 15 additional trains. The total number of seats on regular train is 40,778. PT Kai predicts that the number of passengers during the peak of the homecoming season, which fall on June 22, 2017, will be 17,584 people at Gambir Station and 33,210 at Pasar Senen Station. The company will also provide free transport services for motorcycle during the holiday. John added that 75% of train tickets with free motorcycle transport services had been sold. He added that PT Kai provides motorcycle transport services for 40,704 passengers. As many as 25,244 passengers had booked the tickets. President Director of PT Garuda Indonesia, Pahala Mansuri, says that the next week his company is set to submit candidate names of the company's chiefs of operation and maintenance to Directorate General of Air Transportation of the Transportation Ministry. Pahala added that the ministry would check the qualification of the candidates. For the record, Garuda has eliminated the position of operational director from his structure of organization. The task will be taken over by chief of operation and chief of maintenance. In the meantime, Director General of Air Transportation Agus Santoso said that his ministry would evaluate Garuda's new structure of organization. The directorate will also evaluate candidate names proposed. Agus views that the candidates are required to have competence in accordance with the Civil Aviation Safety Regulation 12. He added that his side would take at least 7 days to do the evaluation. Meanwhile, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi also appreciated Garuda's moves to change his structure of organization. The Indonesian Corruption Watch ICW suggests that the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK establishes its own independent security unit tasked with protecting KPK investigators. ICW researcher Emerson Yunto said that such a force should be set up in anticipation of attacks on KPK's investigators, such as the recent attack on senior KPK investigator Novel Baswedan. Emerson also said in a statement on Friday that considering recent event, the KPK should indeed establish its own security unit, the Guardian of KPK. The establishment of such security unit would release the KPK from its dependency on security officials, including the National Police. Emerson took the example of the SWAT unit that complemented police agency in the USA. The team should also conduct silent operations and secure raids, as well as investigate acts of terror against the KPK. Emerson added that KPK should independently recruit the members of the team so they are loyal to the KPK instead of other institutions. The last item, the trade minister is looking to diversify its export market to African countries to reach the targeted 5.6% increase in non-oil and gas export to $138.7 billion in 2017. These export destinations are deemed suitable for small and medium enterprises to tap as they are still in the early stages of industrialization. Thus, the government is planning to fund free trade agreement FTAs with South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, and Mozambique this year. President Joko Widodo said previously that Indonesia needs to look into other export markets aside from the top five countries, namely the USA, China, Japan, India, and Singapore. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music,
and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me, be the love and land. They dance and see magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. Indonesia.
Very significant events that occurred this week were reviewed in the editorial of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with the press review with Business Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Thursday, wrote, "Strengthening labor-intensive industry." One of the toughest challenges facing President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla in the next few years is to reduce the unemployment rate, which in 2016 was approximately 7.02 million people. Efforts to reduce the number of unemployment by, among others, increasing the number of new jobs are not easy, especially in the midst of the current global economic condition, which are still not fully improved. One of the best possibilities for the government to significantly reduce unemployment is by increasing the number of jobs in the formal sector. It means the government should really seriously develop national manufacturing industry, because the formal sector is one of the most dependable in reducing the number of massive unemployment. Mass employment through manufacturing industry is regarded as the best solution because Indonesia is currently proceeding towards industrialization as the main pillar of the national economy. The policy of industrialization through the development and strengthening of the manufacturing sector as part of the national economic development strategy by itself will run linearly with efforts to reduce unemployment. For that, there is no other option for the government but striving to create a comfortable climate for investment, especially labor-intensive industry, which is the sector which relies on human labor in the production process. According to Business Indonesia, there are some labor-intensive sectors that have long been existing in Indonesia and become a mainstay in employment, including textiles and textile products, furniture, footwear, electronics, and so on. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, in its editorial on Wednesday, it wrote, "Never cease terrorize corruptor." Violence against the Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK investigator Novel Baswedan definitely not a mild problem. Quite possibly, the terror is closely related to the victim's position as an investigator in various corruption cases. It also very likely that it was a counterattack by the corruptors. Novel was subjected to an assault by two unidentified men as he walked home after dawn prayers congregation in a mosque near his house in Kelapa Gading, North Jakarta, on Tuesday. The highly corrosive acid was splashed on his face. Consequently, Novel had to undergo some surgery to restore his injured eyesight. For Novel, the violence was not the first time. Physically, he was once hit by a car while riding a motorcycle on his way to work. It's a small wonder if the public think that Novel is targeted because of his roles in fighting corruption. Admittedly, he's one of the best investigators in the commission. Novel has become the most formidable enemy for the robbers of state money. With integrity and ideals so high, Novel has lost his fear to beat up criminals, whoever he is. Novel was attacked because he's persistent to fight against corruption. The attack against the commission is the attack against the state. According to Media Indonesia, the state should really be behind the commission, really protect them. Arrest and prosecute of the attackers is one of the forms that protection. Novel attacker should be apprehended as soon as possible. It is a clear and unequivocal message that the nation is never afraid and will never lose in the fight against criminals. Well, listeners, that was Press Review of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from historical events, the Titanic cruise sinking on April 15, 1912. RMS Titanic was a British passenger liner that sank in the North Atlantic Ocean in the early morning of April 15, 1912, after colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton, the United Kingdom, to New York City, the United States. The sinking resulted in the loss of more than 1,500 passengers and crew, making it one of the deadliest commercial peacetime maritime disasters in modern history. The RMS Titanic, the largest ship afloat at the time it entered service, was the second of three Olympic-class ocean liners operated by the White Star Line and was built by the Holland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast with Thomas Andrews as her naval architect. Andrews was among those lost in the sinking. On her maiden voyage, the ship carried 2,224 passengers and crew. Under the command of Edward Smith, the ship's passengers included some of the wealthiest people in the world, as well as hundreds of emigrants from Great Britain and Ireland, Scandinavia, and elsewhere throughout Europe, seeking a new life in North America. On April 15, 1989, Hillsborough tragedy. The Hillsborough disaster occurred on 15 of April 1989 at the 1988-89 FA Cup semi-final match between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest at Hillsborough Stadium, Sheffield, England. A crash resulted in the death of 96 people and injuries to 766 others. The incident has since been blamed primarily on the police for letting too many people enter the stadium. It remains the worst stadium-related disaster in British history and one of the world's worst football disasters. The Football Association, or FA, selected Hillsborough for the match between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest. The ensuing influx of supporters caused crushing, and some fans climbed over side fences or were lifted by fellow supporters onto the stand above to escape the crash. Moments after kickoff, a crash barrier broke and fans began to fall on top of each other. The game was stopped after 6 minutes. Of the 96 people who died, only 14 had been admitted to a hospital. All parties formally apologized, including British Prime Minister David Cameron, representing the British government, and recognized that victims of Hillsborough treated unfairly. We conclude with last event on April 15, 2002, Air China aircraft of Boeing 767-200 with flight number CA-129 crashed in Busan, South Korea. Boeing 767-200 Air China from Beijing fell down upon entering the mountainous region near Busan or Busan, South Korea's second largest city, in very bad weather. In the incident, 115 people were killed, 39 survived, and 13 people missing. The Boeing plane, carrying 167 passengers and crew, crashed into the slopes of Mount Sineo after turning 180 degrees in advance when we land at Gimhae International Airport, Busan.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today it's on Saudi Arabia wants to invest in education in Malang. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia plans to invest in Malang, East Java to develop social and education needs of international standard there. Malang Mayor Muhammad Anton in Malang on Tuesday, 11th April, to Antara News Agency, said that the local municipality is ready to receive investment from other Saudi Arabia businessmen in any field. Moreover, Malang will build an Islamic center as the center of activity and space for Muslims. And then also said that as a city of education, Malang is open to collaborate with anyone from any country, not to mention Saudi Arabia. Malang condition is surrounded by college and schools, which is very appropriate for investors in education, including from Saudi Arabia. Anton revealed this after receiving the Saudi rector of the Islamic University, Imam Muhammad bin Saud Imamu, Dr. Sulaiman bin Abdullah Abul Kail of the Senior Ulama Council, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the Saudi Arabian Ambassador to Indonesia, Osama Muhammad Al-Shuaibi in Malang, East Java Province. Anton said that the cooperation was discussed at the Malang City Hall, which included the education and improvement of the quality of the people. Anton believed that the seriousness of the Saudi Arabia investment can be realized in Malang. He explained that Dr. Sulaiman Abdullah bin Abdullah Abul Hail, before coming to Malang, had been to Aceh and Medan. He then decided to visit East Java, especially Malang, as it is considered as having a high potential. According to Anton, Malang and Saudi Arabia has historical ties, as evidenced by the presence of Kampung Embong Arab or Arabic Kampung, where most of the population is of Arab descent. Meanwhile, Dr. Sulaiman bin Abdullah Abul Khail admitted that he had read many things about the city of Malang. He knew that Malang is a city that has many universities and many young people come there to study. He admitted that he was eager to come to Malang because the city has great potential in improving education and employment and many others. Sulaiman bin Abdullah describes the visit of King Salman has produced a variety of productive cooperation. He also added that the visit to Malang is a concrete action result of the visit of King Salman, namely the development of projects of cultural and educational cooperation. He added that it will be realized through the direction and guidance of the King Salman. The visit of Rector of Islamic University Imam Muhammad bin Saud and his delegation, consisting of 30 people, were met by Mayor of Malang Muhammad Anton and a number of heads of regional organizations in the local municipality. That was Focus for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Japan has declared support for Indonesia to be a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council. The declaration of support was expressed by Japan's Deputy Foreign Minister Nobuo Kishi during a meeting with Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti in Tokyo, Japan on Friday. Indonesia and Bosnia have signed an agreement to strengthen economic relations. Early on Tuesday, April 13, 2017, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry and the Bosnia and Herzegovina Foreign Ministry sit in the Fast Baltra Consultation Forum held in Jakarta. Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman has asserted that there is no way for Europe to dictate Indonesian agriculture industry in relation to the single sustainable palm oil standard issued by the European Parliament. State-owned railway company PT Kereta Api Indonesia Operation Region 1 Jakarta has prepared 67 daily trains for Idul Fitri holiday, which will fall in June 2017. President Director of PT Garuda Indonesia Parliament Suri says that next week his company is set to submit candidate names of the company's chiefs of operation and maintenance to Directorate General of Air Transportation at the Transportation Ministry. The Indonesian Corruption Watch ICW suggests that the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK establishes its own independent security unit tasked with protecting KPK investigators. The Trade Ministry is looking to diversify its export market to African countries to reach the targeted 5.6% increase in non-oil and gas export to $138.7 billion in 2017. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations in Lampung Province. Stay tuned. Listener, a natural tour is a tourism object for all tourists. For natural tourism lovers, especially beach, certainly beautiful white sand becomes agenda which must be visited. One of the beaches which offers the beauty of white sand is Embe Beach. Embe Beach, which is a abbreviation of Merak Belantung or in English means Belantung Peacock, has beautiful white sand and sunset as well. Listener, Embe Beach is located at Merak Belantung Village, Kalianda Sub-District, South Lampung Regency, Lampung. Its location is not far from Sumatra Crossroad so that Embe Beach can be found and accessed by tourists. To go to Embe Beach from Bandar Lampung takes road to Kalianda, South Lampung. Before arriving to Kalianda City at Merak Belantung intersection, there is big banner which shows direction to Grand Alti Krakatoa. From the banner, you have to turn right, then go straight following the road. The distance from Merak Belantung intersection to Embe Beach reaches around 2 kilometers. listener, Ambe Beach has been managed provisionally by private company. Because of that, there are some facilities which can be enjoyed by tourists. Those facilities are water playing ground, field, stalls, gazebo, mosque, parking space, and camping ground as well. The field at the beach is usually used for sport activities such as beach volley and many more. Parking space at the beach is quite wide. You can park your own car with the fee 10,000 rupiah per car. If you want to stay at night, you can set a tent and camping ground. Listener, the entrance fee to Ambe Beach is not expensive. It is only 20,000 rupiah per person. The ticket fee is included for toilet and rent of room. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Ambe Beach in Lampung Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is all.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, on Miscellany. Listener, two-thirds of Indonesia is maritime that has much wealth of natural resources, but biological resources that can be renewed and non-biological resources. Marine energy and marine surface until now have not been used optimally. Related with diverse biological resources in Indonesia, today's miscellany is about soft-shell crab. One of marine animals that protects themselves with hard shell, but it is very popular in community, is crab. Crab is not only desirable because of delicious taste and easy to process, but also contains several essential nutrients. Unfortunately, if you enjoy a dish made from crab, you will face the difficulty. That is, first you must open the hard shell and it takes time and effort. Now, you can enjoy a crab that can be eaten the whole body, no exception, a hard shell. Yusinta Fujaya, professor of University of Hasanuddin in Makassar, South Sulawesi, who is also a researcher, finds that a method to soften the shell of crab. The method by Professor Yushi, a nickname from Yusinta, is inspired by figure Popeye, a sailor character in cartoon. Before he fight against his rival, Popeye will eat spinach. So Popeye's body become muscular, fit, and tough for his rival. Listener, Yushi started doing research on spinach. Apparently, spinach contains ecdysteroid hormone that can stimulate an old crab skin to peel and rejuvenate the skin. Compared with a method that had been done in Thailand and some areas in Indonesia, through the mutilation, a crab leg stimulates an old shell to release and produce a new soft shell. Yushi's method is much safer and not injures the animal. By injecting extract of spinach to crab's body, the period of softening shell could be shortened from the usual 30 to 35 days to 16 to 20 days. Yushinta and her team called this finding with Phytomold. Professor Yushi said that an advantage of soft-shell crab is when the shell releases naturally calcium and the shell drowns naturally into crab's body. Soft crab is rich of calcium, which may neutralize cholesterol and control blood sugar for diabetic. Phytomold products now have been used in some small and medium enterprises or SMEs, which develop crab in Makassar as the city of the Angin Mamiri. Through these businesses, many farmers benefit because their welfare being fulfilled and could send their children to pursue higher education. Listener, that was specially for today's edition with the topic Jacinta Fujaya and Soft Shell Crab. See you again with other interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, it's Naro Ferrari, this Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In this edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian group band, Leto. This group was established in Yogyakarta in 2004 with personnel Noah in vocalist, Patup as guitarist, Aryan as bassist, and Dedot as drummer. Earlier, they were a group of friendship in senior high school in Yogyakarta. After they separated due to study activities, finally they meet again and work together. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Ruang Rindu.
Mengalir lembut terbawa sungai ke ujung mata dan aku mulai takut terbawa cinta menghirup rindu yang sesakkan dada jalanku hampa dan ku sentuh dia terasa hangat. Oh, di dalam hati ku pegang erat dan ku halangi waktu tak urung jua ku lihatnya pergi. Tak pernah ku ragu dan selalu ku ingat kelingan matamu dan sentuhan hangat. Ku saat itu takut mencari makna tumbuhkan rasa yang sesakkan dada.
listener, the first song entitled Ruang Rindu is a hit song of Leto's first album entitled Truth, Cry, and Lie. The album, which was released in 2006, received an award for category of newcomer album from SCTV Music Award 2007. The song tells about somebody who feels love that has not been revealed yet, so the meeting only happened at nostalgic room. A song is full of beautiful lyrics and poetic. Earlier, Leto released Pili album in 2004, but at that time, this group was still with the name Leto, only one T. The lyric and rhythm of the song are combined with vocal character of strong mellow neo, which makes songs of this group to be received well at musical market, not only in Indonesia, but also in neighboring countries. Ruang Rindu and Sandaran Hati succeed to be the top in music chart at several radio stations of Malaysia at that time. This album also received Planet Music 2007 award as the best musical group in Singapore on 8 June 2007. In 2015, the song of Ruang Rindu in Japanese version was sung by Hiroaki Kato. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sebelum Cahaya.
Yang menemanimu sebelum cahaya.
listeners, the song is the hit song of Leto's second album entitled Don't Make Me Sad, which was launched on 16 August 2007. The song tells about someone who is lonely because she is left by her boyfriend. Part of result of album sales was dedicated by Leto to make Book of Braille letter. Another song which attracts to be heard from this album entitled Permintaan Hati. Then, Leto released some albums such as Leto Logica in 2009, Cinta Bersabarlah in 2011, and some single songs. The song of Cinta Bersabarlah as if Leto requests to their fans to be patient to wait for Leto's works. Along their career in Indonesian music world, Leto also received platinum certificate for their songs. Well, listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Dalam Duka and Sandaran Hati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Dalam suka, ku percaya kau kan bisa menemani dengan cinta. Dalam duka, bertanya bagaimana dalam hatimu bicara. Cerita yang kita punya takkan ada jika tak percaya. Dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Dalam cinta, ku bertanya tak percaya.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Voice. Voice of Indonesia. Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of LRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Yakinkah ku berdiri di empat tanpa tepi? Bolehkah aku mendengarmu? Terkubur dalam emosi, tak bisa bersembunyi. Aku dan nafasku merindukanmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.